conversation between Colton Brock and Susan Brock while she's in jail. Jennifer believes they believe that he's watching her slam dunk, but then she's not charging with crime.
Good evening, or good morning. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tatir Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Unconditional love. Vav Shin Resh. Kabel Rinat. Amcha Sagvenu. Taharenu. No Ra. Ufre Shayan. Sintet Nun. Tear up Satan. Sha'ar Katan. Na Gibor Dorshei Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Parnasa. Taking back the energy we've given away through our mistakes. Dalet and Hey. Vachem tacharem rachame sidkacha tamid gamlem. Et tetresh, sadi tafkim. Chasin kadosh, v'lo tuvcha, na'el adatach. Tet kufbet, tet nunayim. Yachid geyeh, Ramcha Penei Zokrei Kedushatach Yud Gimelamed Hei Zayin Kuf Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufab Tadi Yud Tav. I'm reading from the Zohar tonight. Does anybody have any questions before I start? I'm reading from the Parsha of Achronot, section 3, entitled Nedav and Avihu, starting with verse 19. Vayhi. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yedenu K'nenei Aleinu Maaseh Yedenu K'nenehu. Terei B'nei Acharon Karivu Esha Nukra Adela Yityachadu Shemei Kadka Yeot V'itukadu Enu ra rabi yitzak amarkiti vachare mot ukti vayamuto kevan di amar achare mot shene bene acharon la yedana dehavi amutu ela haki tane nan tire michot mitot Havo chad lifnei Hashem vechad Dilach havo lehu benin Dekol man dila zakei livnin Vitu begin Kach acharemot Viamutu The two sons of Aaron offered a foreign fire as they did not unify his name properly. And therefore were consumed in fire. Rabbi Yitzhak stated that it is written after the death, and it is later written and died in the same verse. If it states after the death of the two sons of Aaron, wouldn't I know that they died? The answer is we are taught that there were two deaths, one before Hashem, and one because they left no children. For one who does not merit children is considered dead. For this reason it is written, after the death, and died. Namely, after the death is to be understood literally, and died refers to their not having children. This is an explanation for why it says death twice. But we know we have the method, the Levirate marriage, in which a man who dies without children, his wife becomes the wife of his brother, and Nadav and Abihu had two brothers. But they did not have a wife. They were never married. So is it, why wouldn't there be another way, another method for the Levirate marriage to bring these souls back to earth? This is not a question I've ever heard asked or answered. And I certainly don't have the answer, but God is merciful. Why would he not have a way for someone to die who was not married and had no children? Why would he not have a method to bring that soul back? Now we understand from the teachings of the Ari that he did, that Nadav and Abihu did reincarnate. They did come back with Pinchas, their nephew, and the three of them inhabited one body, the body of Pinchas, and that eventually Pinchas evolved and developed and changed, and over a number of years, some extremely long period of time, they became Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet. But does that happen to everybody? Is this the only method? That if somebody dies as a 16, a 17, an 18-year-old, never been married, never having children, but they're above the age of 13, or 21, or 22. What happens to those souls? I've never heard the answer. Verse 20. Rabbi Abba Amar, my diktiv vayamat Nadav v'Avihu lifnei Hashem b'chakribam. Eish zara lifnei. Hashem b'midbar. Sinai uvanim lo hayu. Lechem v'yakachem. Ela zarvi tamar. Maida legabei da'adiktiv. Uvanim lo hayu. Lahem v'yakachein el azar v'itamar, el araza d'milka, chay d'yameina v'yamutu d'ilahavo, lehu banim v'hakihu, v'day avala bish ki ishar b'nei alma, Aagi de la ansivu de ha Ilain la mitu ela mitat Garmechonaval mitat nafshachon la mitu. Rabbi Abba said that it is written, and Nadav and Avihu died before Hashem when they offered a foreign fire before Hashem in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Itamar ministered in the priest's office. He questions, what connection does one have with the other in saying, and they had no children? And Eleazar and Itamar ministered in the priest's office. Did the latter inherit the priesthood from Nadav and Avihu because they were childless? He answers, this is what I have said, that they died because they had no children, and were considered as if dead. This is definite, but not like other people, even though they did not marry, for they died only a physical death, and not a spiritual one. But we are understanding that no one dies a spiritual death. But there are people who die a spiritual death. They aren't people, they're angels. The chief ministers of the 70 nations. When one nation is deposed from being in charge of another nation, from taking over its war, its territory, that angel goes through something called the river Dinura, the river of fire. And in so doing, the river of fire cleanses that angel, and it is spoken of as if he has died and been reborn, been renewed. The cleansing has taken place. And so there is such a thing as a spiritual death. Does it apply to human beings? Yes, people go to Gehinnom and different levels of Gehinnom, one of which is made of fire. It's a cleansing. It is a spiritual death. But in essence, that entity, that human soul, does not die, as in the context of death in the physical world. But there is a cleansing and a renewal, and that is considered death and being reborn. Verse 21. Manil dikti ve'elazar ben acharon lakach lo binot. Utiel lo isha vateled lo et pinchas ele rashe avot halviyin lemishvechotam ele veha pinchas bilchodo hava uktiv rashe avot halviyin begimul kach mitat garmechon Mitu mitat nafshachon la mitu amar Rabbi Elazar v'day mashma ele umashma rashen. From where do we know that they did not die a spiritual death? For it is written, and Elazar, son of Aaron, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bore him Pinchas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites, according to their families. He questions and says these, yet Pinchas alone is mentioned, and it says heads of the fathers of the Levites, of Pinchas alone. This is because Nadab and Abihu were reincarnated in Pinchas. So it is written in the Torah about the reincarnation in one of the grammatical methods of coding in the Torah. The Ari always gets his information by evaluating the words, the letters of the Torah. It's just we're never clear until he wrote it about it. Other people have difficulty in seeing the connections that he was able to make. Continuing. Therefore, the verse reads of him, these are the heads. A plural expression, according to this, suggests physical, not spiritual, as they were reincarnated in Pinchas. Rabbi Elazar said this is so, and it is understood when it is written about him. These, a plural expression, it is likewise inherent when it is written about him. Heads, a plural expression. Verse 22. Ukich kativ Pinchas ben Elazar ben Acharon Hakohen guktiv upinchas ben Elazar ben Acharon Hakohen Hayakohen bayamim Hahen Pinchas ben Elazar Hakohen Miba Ele Ela Vekol atar diata Pinchas ben Acharon Hakohen Ketiv Elazar La Ketiv Elazar Hakohen Dikriv Lifne Elazar Hakohen Vayomer Elazar Hakohen Vegomer Vialda Mitat Karmechon mitu, mitat nafshachon la mitu. Due to this it is written, Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest. And also it is written, and Pinchas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, was a priest in those days. It should simply read, Pinchas, the son of Eleazar the priest. Why mention son of Aaron the priest? He wished to tell us that whenever Pinchas is mentioned, it is written son of Aaron the priest. But with regard to Eleazar, it is only written Eleazar the priest, and no mention of son of Aaron as we find written before Eleazar the priest, or at Eleazar the priest said. This is due to the fact that Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, were reincarnated in Pinchas. Therefore, the verse mentions sons of Aaron regarding him. Consequently, their deaths were physical, but spiritually they did not die, as they were reincarnated in Pinchas. What's revealed here is that spiritually, when the body dies, the soul also dies in its form of cleansing. It is considered a spiritual death. But Nadab and Abihu never went through that process. And they're explaining in the Zohar and in the Torah through these hints and this revelation from the Zohar that they did not go through the process of spiritual death, but that other people do. verse 23. Vetamenan beraza de matnitin terezug penchas vehait mar yud zehra ene atvan de pinchas vehayud kalil tire kachada vedahu raza de mila vehait mar. We have learned from the secret of the Mishnah that the name Pinchas is formed from two names, which constitute a pair, Pin and Chas. Indeed, Pinchas is spelled with a small Yud-Peh, Yud-Nun-Kaf, Samach, for the Yud incorporates the two together. This is the profound explanation that we have already been taught. Well, I don't remember reading it or been taught. I do understand there is the small yud in the name Pinchas written not in the portion of Achrein Mot, but in the portion of Pinchas. And Pinchas has a small yud, and this verse is telling us that the word Pe-Nun and Kaf-Samach are two words. I don't know their meanings offhand. I could look it up. But I'm sure it's going to be explained to us later on in this section. Verse 24. Rabbi Elazar Shaili Avu Amar Le Vehatire Inun Utre Avo Amai La Ishtakahu Tire Amar Le Tire Palge Gufa Havo Dehala Ansivu Ufkich Behad Itkalilu Dikti Veteled Lo Et Pinchas, Ele Rashe Vigomer. Rabbi Elazar inquired of his father, "Behold, Nadav and Avihu were two individuals. Why were there not two?" Meaning, why were they not reincarnated into two people, but only in Pinchas? He replied, "Each was a half body, because they did not marry, and one who does not marry is considered a half person. For this reason the two are incorporated in one, as it is written, and she bore him Pinchas. These are the heads." There really was only two people reincarnated into Pinchas. There was Pinchas, one person, and the Nadav and Avihu, one person, because they never got married. And that implies that in other incarnations, there is the male and female together when they incarnate. It's not what it's being said directly, and over time, we're going to come and investigate that, because I don't know the truth of that statement. But I am curious about the question. Verse 25. V'yud de Pinchas dra it yehiv ve'le habira atvan ela b'sha'ata dekane l'kudsha barichu v'yata li yashra akima dechama Dechayat berit kadisha, ayel zimri birshuta, achara ugma deit akam, bekadmeta itakan, haka benukra'a, itakam bekadmeta, dikti vechachrivam, esh zara, Ha-ka benukra'a itakan kema Diktivu va'al bat ayal nachar Madhalan esh zara Afkan name isha zara. The Yud and Pinchas was put in him to enjoin the letters only when he has been zealous for the only one, blessed be he, and came to straighten that which was crooked upon seeing the sign of the member of the Holy Covenant that Zimri inserted into another territory. Nadav and Avihu were corrected here from their earlier deviation, for Nadav and Avihu deviated in a foreign female, as it is written, when they offered a foreign fire. They were corrected through that foreign woman that Pinchas slew, as it is written, and has married the daughter of a strange El. Just as in the first case there was a foreign fire, here too was a foreign woman. I have never read this verse before, or if I have read it, I didn't understand it. This is an amazing insight. Their lack of children, their lack of being married, based on that lack, they would not have been reincarnated, Nadav and Avihu. That's what the verse implies. But because there was the woman, Cozbi, who was the Midianite priestess, who actually was a Jewish soul as a reincarnation of Jacob's daughter, Dinah. Cozbi married Nadav and Avihu in the process of being killed. It's not that it was a marriage. It's in the context of what we understand, but it says she corrected them. They brought a foreign fire, and she was a foreign woman. And the Zohar here is connecting those two concepts, which takes a lot of thinking to really truly understand it. And I have not yet achieved that level of consciousness. Verse 26. Mai itchazei haka Ela bekad meta drachika karivu diktiv. Nechak rivam esh zara uchaka zimri hava kariv rutika shema demalka hava kariv gabe rachika miad v'yar pinchas Ben Elazar, Ben Acharon, Hakohen, Vayakam Maitoch, Aeda, Haka Itkin, Akima Dekad Meta, Kedain Itjehiv, Yud, Ishmael Lechabera, Advan Kachada, the Eat Besar, the Shalom Diktiv, Lachain, Emor hineni natein lo et beriti shalom, beriti mamash. He questions, what is apparent here, meaning what is the connection between a foreign fire to a foreign woman? He answers, at the beginning they brought near to the holiness something that was far removed from holiness, and defiled the holiness, as is written, when they offered a foreign fire. Here too, Zimri committed the very same sin in that he brought near that which was far from holiness, namely the foreign woman, to the holiness, because he brought near the name of the king, the sign of the Holy Covenant, to the distant one, namely the foreign woman. immediately when Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation. At this point, he corrected the earlier crookedness. Then the Yud was added to that, to his name, to enjoin the letters together. The secret of Yesod that connects Daranpin with Malchut. Thus he was promised peace, which is Yesod, referred to as peace, as it is written, wherefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, my very covenant, namely Yesod. On one level, this verse is talking about the connection of the Brit Milah to Yesod. On another level, it's talking about through the act of being killed, Cosby corrects or makes straight the idea of not being married for Nadab and Abihu. To me, it's quite confusing. Verse 27. Ma shalom hata ela bechahu kitra chagu bekadmeta bechahu kitra itaru betatuta bekadmeta bechashta deitakan kitiv hinani notain lo et beriti Shalom Bariti Mamash Tehe Ime Bishalom Ugin Kach Ichehiv Yud Zeira Bishmai Deha Meatvan Zeiran Hiliat Chaza Deha Itakan Madi Itakam Bekat Meta Veha Ashlimat Ime ata Rabbi Elazar v'nash shik yado. Amar barich rachamana disha ilna hai mila vela itavid bine. He asks, what is this peace we speak of here when it says, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace? He answers, at first I sinned against the Sefer HaYesod by offering foreign fire. As earlier mentioned, they damaged the Sefirah in instigating a quarrel between Zeranpin and Malchut, as written above. Now that it is corrected, it is written, behold, I give him my covenant of peace, my actual covenant, namely the Sefer HaYesod, which goes by the name covenant. It will be at peace with him. Namely, the peace between Zeranpin and Malchut. For this reason, the small yud was added to his name, which hints at Yesod, which is of the small letters, to show that what was earlier crooked has already been corrected, meaning that Yesod, which was curved earlier, has been straightened and was said before, and now Malchut is perfected through Yesod. Rabbi Elazar kissed his hands and said, blessed is the merciful one for allowing me to ask this thing, so it should not get lost from me. And if you think about this on a physical level, if you listen to the words of that verse, Malchut, the vagina of a woman, is not straight. But during intercourse, because of the man's stiffness, it is made straight. It is corrected. And this is what is necessary in order to create the unity between male and female, between Zeranpin and Malchut. It's amazing. Verse 28. Tana Amar Rabbi Yosei Bahai Yoma Ikipure Yitikan Lemikre Pershita da Bekapara le Yisrael Begaluta Beginda Sidra de Yoma Dahaka Itzadar Ugin de Mitatchon Divne Acharon Mekapara Al Yisrael. We have learned that Rabbi Yosef said it was established to read this chapter of the sons of Aaron on this day of Yom Kippur in order to bring atonement for Israel in exile, who are unable to offer sacrifices. For this reason, the order of sacrifices for this day, Yom Kippur, was established here in the portion about the sons of Aaron, and reciting it comes in place of sacrifice. Furthermore, the deaths of the sons of Aaron atone for Israel. Whatever Israel has done during the year is made straight by the reading of this portion of the death of Nadav and Abihu. Verse 29. Mikan olifna kol hahu barnash tiyusure dimare atyan ale kapara decholo inun vekol man demaitstar al yusure hon the tzadikaya ma'avirin chovaya vilchon me'al ma v'yad b'yoma da'achurein korin acharei mot shenei b'nei acharon v'yishme'un ama v'yitzta'arun al avuton the tzadikaya v'yitkaper Lechon Hovaihu, Lechol the Mitztaar, Alavudchon, the Tzadikaya, O Achit Dimin, Alaihu Kuchabarichu, Machriz Ale, the Omer, the Sorrow Vonecha, the Chatatcha, the Kupar. Velo od ela dela yemutun veno biyomo viale ketiv yerezera yaricha yamim begomer. We also learn from here that every person who has affliction visited upon him from his master, they serve as atonement for sins. All who have distress for affliction brought upon the just will have their sins pass away from this world. For this reason, on this day, Yom Kippur, we read about after the death of the two sons of Aaron, so that the congregation listens and feels distressed for the pious who were lost, and thus the congregation have their sins forgiven. Of him he who feels sorrow for the righteous who perished or sheds tears for them, the Holy One, blessed be he, announces, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Furthermore, he is reassured that his children will not die during his lifetime, and it is written about him, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. In my lifetime, every Yom Kippur, there has been a Yizkor service. And at this Yizkor service has been mentioned the righteous who passed in the Shoah. I don't know what was done before I was born. Was there a Yizkor service every Yom Kippur between the First World War and the Second? But it didn't mention the righteous of the Shoah. Did it mention the righteous from earlier generations? Where does this teaching come from? It comes from the Zohar right here. It's explaining to us what we are to be thinking when we're in that Yizkor on Yom Kippur. I've never heard it expressed that way. I've of the righteous who have passed, and cleanse your own negativity. It's an amazing revelation. I'm going to stop reading here because the next section would be too long and we'd run out of time. I feel truly amazed, energized, in awe at what occurred to me that I repeated to you during the reading of this section 3. It really needs to be studied again and again and again. I bid you a Pesach Sameach. I bid you a Shabbat Shalom. I announce that I will be doing classes on Tuesday nights. No, because it's Pesach. It's the holiday of Pesach, not the Chol HaMoed. But Wednesday night, I will be doing the readings from Rabbi Ashlag's essays rather than the mitzvot. And on Thursday night, I will be reading the Zohar from the section of Achremot, or maybe Kiddushim, I'm not sure. But I invite you to join us and learn this amazing material. Have a wonderful Seder. Put your life in order. Jump. Leap to freedom.